Hebrews chapter 11, and we're so glad to be alive today and so thankful for all that God has done for us and blessed us. Had just a wonderful candlelight service on Wednesday night. The Spirit was just so wonderful, and if you were able to attend, I want to just thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. You have encouraged me, and I'm sure you encouraged others as well. And if you're like me a little bit, you're still in the Christmas lag and dealing with so much food everywhere. And we enjoyed, however, our time together as a family. And we said goodbye to Ashley and Matt yesterday, which was, Friday night we said goodbye to Ashley and Matt, which was torrential. And yet we know that the Lord is in control of all things. And we thank God that He is still faithful. And then we're going to talk today about that matter of faith. And we're going to talk through a message I've entitled, "The Best Life is a Faith Life." And so we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, read a few verses this morning, and we're going to just study this matter of faith from a biblical perspective again, and why it's so important going forward in the new year. And I think that every last Sunday of the year is a challenge for every pastor, and really I think it should be a challenge for every Christian who has an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. And I think it's a great time to refocus and to reevaluate our year for the Lord, not just how we did physically. A lot of times right now people are looking back and looking at circumstances and looking at their lifestyle and making adjustments. But I think we owe it to the Lord Jesus to do that spiritually. And I hope that this message will do help us in that endeavor for the Lord's sake. And so let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 this morning and read several verses. And I want you to contemplate. Many of us are used to this passage, and certainly we know it. Many of us like to think that we understand it all too much or all too well, but what I'd like to do is ask you to re-look at it today and maybe ask the Lord to help you have a first look all the way back and see if we can't put some things together and help it to make sense and ask God to give us new light. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Verse 5. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now we know from Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch walked with God. Here we're told of that walk was a walk of faith, that God had translated him. And how do we know that? Because of what verse 6 says. The end of verse 5 says that his testimony was one that pleased God. And verse 6 tells you what that means. The Bible says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Verse 7. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." And would you join me in a word of prayer this morning? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another day today, God, and we thank you for the mercies that were new with the rising of the sun and the opening of our eyes. God, that reminds us that you're faithful and that you are faithful every single day. We thank you for your goodness, God, and we thank you for your love and for your kindness toward us. We thank you for your long suffering toward us. And God, we thank you for this year that you've given to us. Now, Lord, we praise you because you're faithful but mostly because you're holy. We know that even this year is within the realms of your works, and we know that your works are perfect and good all the time. We know that you work all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we know that your ultimate purpose is that all men be saved. We know that when people get saved, that it glorifies you. And Lord, here we're told in the Bible, what pleases you is when we trust you. Lord, when we have faith, the faith of a mustard seed, the faith like a child, even faith in fear and unbelief, God, we know that that pleases you, especially when it leads us to obedience. And so, God, today we surrender ourselves to you. We ask that you'd give us a fresh look at this matter of faith. We ask that you'd open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray, God, that you'd give us understanding today as your people. And Lord, if there's someone tonight, this morning listening who is not 100% sure if they died today, that they would be in heaven, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation, because now is the acceptable time. I pray, God, for every believer that you would open our hearts again and help us to be yielded to your Holy Spirit of God. I pray that our living rooms and our dens and our kitchens would become places of worship and of studying the scriptures to see if these things be so. And I pray that in that you'd be not only pleased, but glorified. And God, I yield myself to you this morning. I ask that you'd help me to simply get out of your way, that I could be used. I pray that you'd fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, that you'd help me just to be your mouthpiece. I yield to you today. And I ask you to please control me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I pray that you would just use me. Help me to be a minister for your glory and honor. Thank you, Lord, for church. Thank you for the people who make up the church. And thank you, God, for the blessings of this season. I pray that you'd bless those listening today. And I pray that you'd help them in their need, wherever they are at spiritually, wherever they are at physically, even financially or in relationships. I pray that you'd help them. I pray that you'd encourage them today. I pray that after this message is over, that they would, Lord, that they would be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. And I pray that, Lord, in all of it, that you would be praised. We ask that you'd bless our time now. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things. Amen. On the last Sunday of the year, I bring a message that is central to the best life a Christian can live. And that, of course, is the faith life, or the life of faith. Regardless of how you lived in 2020, remember that one of the best things about the end of a year is the opportunity to look back at what has transpired, and then, of course, to learn from it. Being grateful for the ups, we can give God all the glory, and I hope that you will. Being humbled by our failures, however, we can ask God for mercy and then seek His grace and wisdom so as not to repeat them. But if there's anything to learn from our time in 2020, it must be in regard to our walk of faith, or our trusting in God to work all things out for good to the glory of God. Now, when you study the Bible, you understand immediately from the very beginning that God ultimately knows everything. And because of that wisdom, He has designated a straight path that leads directly to the best life that a human being could possibly live. And that is, as we have already stated, a life of faith, or a faith life. Now, something else you discern when you read the scriptures very quickly is that the life of faith is certainly not very complicated. God's very specifically and very simplistically laid it out, but it most certainly is not easy. The life of faith is not easy. Once you begin to read the Word of God and you see that there is immediate difficulty or challenge and even opposition to acting on faith or through faith, you understand that though it may not be very complicated, at times it can be very difficult. Should you take the time to study about faith, you'll find that childlike faith is required to move adult-sized mountains and to make life-changing decisions. These decisions of faith will inevitably result in some form of a family problem. That's what you find in Genesis chapter 3. It'll result in some type of misunderstanding. It will result in some type of presumption by friends and rejection by the world, or even persecution by an enemy. And if the Bible teaches the just shall live by faith, then we could conclude that the life of faith is comprehensible. We certainly can understand it. It is apprehendable and certainly feasible for every believer. And since it is God's prescription for his best, then we as followers of Christ should look into the matter very seriously. How is it that we not just come by this faith, but what is the result of a Bible or a pleasing faith? So I'd like to share just a few simple thoughts this morning about faith, what it is, what it does in the life of a believer that exercises it. And then I want to give some suggestions simply for the coming year. And I hope that this will be a blessing to you. First of all, I want us to contemplate this thought. Number one, faith begins with a statement of God, or a statement from God. Faith begins with a statement from God. Go back and you'll notice that the description of faith in verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God that we cannot see, by His Word, spoke into existence all that can be seen. So the evidence of what is stated, or what has been stated, is certainly not from something that is seen, but it is evident to us that it appears, which tells us that God is very real and that God is the creator of all life. Now think about this statement. Faith begins with a statement from God. In Exodus 19 and verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, listen, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. So where did Israel's faith begin? Where did Abraham's faith begin? Where did Adam and Eve's faith begin? It began with the spoken word of God. Remember, God said to Adam, all of this is yours. You can eat of all of it. Only of that tree, don't eat of it. That was Adam saying, okay, I now know what my purpose is. I now know who I am. I know who God is, and I know what He's told me to do, so I'm going to trust Him. So it begins with a statement from God. God speaks to us today through His Word. And trust me when I say that He has nothing more that He needs to say, because He has said all that we need to hear in the Word of God. And this is where faith is born. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith begins with a statement of God. Now let's just think about this. When we hear what God says in the Bible, then we have to surmise a few things. First of all, do I believe what God is saying is true or not? Do I believe what God is saying is true? And then, can God be trusted? All of this happens. You see, when God spoke to me of salvation, that was the opportunity for faith. Because why? Because faith begins with a statement of God. I wasn't thinking about God. I wasn't thinking about salvation. But because I heard the Word of God and I heard the truth, then I had an opportunity to begin my life of faith. Why? Because faith begins with a statement of God, and it begins with this. Can what God is saying be true? Can it be trusted? Here's something else you have to surmise. Do I trust what He says is helpful? Do I trust what He says is helpful? Is it helpful? Is it something that I actually need? Is it something that can be used? Often we see God as someone who's simply trying to control us. And God says, no, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to give you what I know so that you can have your best life. And the best life is a faith life. Another thing you have to surmise when you hear what God is saying in the Word of God, am I going to respond to what He is saying in a way that represents my belief? Am I going to respond to Him in a way that represents what I believe? Are my actions congruent with what I say I believe? Because faith is believing what God says is true. The evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. If I make the statement, I believe that God created the world by His spoken word, then I'm putting stock in who God is. And I'm saying that I believe in that God. Now, That's what verse 6 says. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that all that He says He is. And if I can believe that that's true, what else does He say? And is that true also? Why would God say some things that are true? And how could I possibly believe that something else that He says concerning my marriage or concerning the purity of my mind or the holiness of the temple of God? How could I say, well, that certainly is not true. You get what I'm saying? God says, look, I want you to understand that your best life is a life that trusts in the Lord with all your heart. that you don't lean in your own understanding. Don't try to justify your actions by ignoring my word or even twisting my word, because my words are exactly what I want my words to be and to say. Trusting his word, trusting it to be what I need to hear, then responding to it in obedience. That's what faith is. Faith begins with a statement of God. Secondly, faith leads then to an action of some kind. Faith leads to an action of some kind. Now, follow me here just for a minute. Faith in any amount always leads to a response. Faith in any amount always leads to a response. That's true about the life that God describes for us in the Word of God. That real faith always leads to an action. And you can see this in the text. And then I want you to maybe even do it on your own. It's a tremendous study. Just read through the text and circle all the verbs that take place after God spoke. And you may have to go back and put all of the verbs in the context of the story that's in the Word of God. But after God spoke in some way, you're always going to find this, an action. For instance, we read in Exodus chapter 19 about how God spoke to Moses, and then Moses delivered those words to the people. Here's what the people returned. And all the people answered together and said, "Listen, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now, we understand this, especially those of you who are in love, who have ever been in love, you know this truth already. When you first heard that someone loved you as much as you loved them, your actions proved, or their actions proved, what you believed to be true. If someone told you, "I love you," and then acted contrary to that, you wouldn't believe them. But because they loved you, they acted on that love. And by the way, your faith in their trust made you respond to their words and their actions. You understand this, all right? So in fact, if you didn't believe someone loved you, more than likely it was because their actions said something different than their words, right? So you understand this point. So let me ask you this. What has your faith led you to do in 2020? Or what has your faith led you not to do in 2020? What actions were taken? What crisis were averted? What email was trashed instead of sent? What text was withheld? What life was touched? What soul was saved? What check was written? What door was knocked? What track was given out? What gratitude was shown? What prayer was offered? What ark was built? What sin was forsaken? What verses were memorized? What love was shown? What forgiveness was offered? What relationship was mended? What step was taken for God's will? You see, every action, every decision in life is something that is in response to our faith in God or not. And if it begins with God and it's true faith, then that faith is always going to lead to some type of action. Every action, every decision in life is something that is in response to our faith in God and His Word. The best life then is a life of faith. And a life of faith takes God's word as true and trustworthy and helpful, and then takes actions that prove that what God is saying not only is true, but is trustworthy. Follow along. The Bible says in verse 4 of our text, "By faith Abel offered." What did he offer? He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. How did he know what to offer? Because God told him. God has established the sacrifice that it had to be the blood of an animal that atoned for sin. Cain took it upon himself to say, "Well, you know what? I don't believe that. I don't believe that what God is saying is true or the only way to have atonement for sin. So this is what I believe. I believe that if I offer vegetables and fruits, that God's going to accept the sacrifice." Okay? Now, what's he saying? "I don't trust God. What God is saying is not true. What I'm saying is true, and I trust myself." Abel said, "I trust God. I don't trust myself." Cain, "I'm not following your way. I'm following God's way, and we know that God can be trusted." And so Abel, by faith in what God said, offered, and his sacrifice was accepted by faith. Enoch was translated, but you could say it this way: by faith, Enoch walked with God when no one else was. in a time when no one else did. Enoch walked with God, and that walk was a walk of faith, and that faith is what pleased God. Notice down again, look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. What happened in Genesis 6? God spoke and said, this is what I see in the world. This is the problem. Noah, if you're to be saved and anyone else is going to be saved, you're going to have to build an ark. So what happened? Noah said, I believe God. I see everything else that's going on, and I believe God. So what did he do? Being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness. In verse 8, God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to leave where you are, and I want you to go where I will show you. I'm not giving you a map, I'm giving you me. I want you to trust me. You're going to be a pilgrim, and I'm going to take you to a place that you can't imagine. And Abraham said, well, I don't believe you. I'm going to stay right here. I make a good living. I'm a good man. I have a good family. No, what did he do? The Bible says, look at, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive, obeyed, and he went out. Why? Because faith always leads to some kind of action. Real faith in the Word of God always takes some form of action. It tells us that God is trustworthy. It tells us that what he is saying is helpful and true. Acts of faith are what changed the world, are what changed the world after his resurrection. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, what was the boldness of Peter and John? To do what God told them to do. To bear witness that Jesus Christ was alive. That his death satisfied the righteous requirement for sin, but his resurrection proved that he was deity and that he had victory over sin, death, and the grave. And the only way to have eternal life and forgiveness of sins was through Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the obedience, and perceived that these people were unlearned and ignorant, we could say it this way, they were so stupid, they obeyed God. They were so dumb, they understood exactly what God meant. They saw the ignorance, they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. The word is they were shocked, blown out of their mind. And they took knowledge of them that they had, listen, been with Jesus. Now, that to me is a very simplistic way of describing the faith life. Just being with Jesus. You see, you don't have to have a master's degree in theology in order to live a life of faith. You just have to be with Jesus. What does that mean? You just have to follow where he leads. And the rest, you leave to him. So faith begins with a statement from God. And that faith always leads to an action of some kind, which number 3 tells us this. An act of faith leads to an active Christian life. An act of faith leads to an active Christian life. Romans 1 and verse 17. Just listen to the simplicity of this verse. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from person to person. For the just shall live by faith. From person to person, from generation to generation, faith is handed down. How? Not by what we believe, by what we do after what we believe. You see, because the previous verse tells us in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And then the next verse tells us that therein is the righteousness of God revealed. You see, our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ reveals to us what's right. That faith then is handed down generationally by what? By what we do with what we believe. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. You see how powerful a lack of faith is? The devil gets us to believe that it's not that big of a deal if we don't do. All we have to do is just believe. We just need to believe that we're saved. We just need to believe that Jesus died for us. We just need to believe that that was enough for us. And we deceive ourselves in saying that we have real faith. Now, I'm not saying that person's not saved. I'm just saying that faith without works is dead being alone. For as the body without the spirit is dead, faith without works is dead also. You see, God puts it very specifically out there. An act of faith is going to lead to an active Christian life. It's true that Paul and David and Peter and Joseph and Joshua and Moses and people like Daniel and many other people in the Bible who, by the way, in chapter 11, it refers to these people. It says, look, time would not allow me to speak of and all these things. And it basically lists all the circumstances, not by name, but by action. You see how important the action is after the faith? God gets down to where he talks about all a few people by name. And then all of a sudden he summarizes the power and the pleasing of faith by their actions. Why? Because an act of faith leads to an active Christian life. It's true that all these people and many other are people who live by faith. Some would even consider them heroes of faith. We would look in the Bible and we go, wow, these guys were super Christians. These people were not like me at all. I feel like I'm a failure. I feel like I have nothing in common. No, they were people just like you and I. The only difference is that when it really came time to believe and act, they did both, not just one. Daniel believed and acted. Joshua believed and acted. Joseph believed and acted. Moses believed and acted. All of them. You see, it's not a matter of them being heroes of the faith because they're in the Bible. Trust me when I say there are plenty of people living today who are living by faith as well. Some of them you know. Some of them you might have fellowshiped with at one point. Some of them you might even look up to. These are Christians living through a pandemic who are still giving their tithe every week. People who are still given to missions. Believers who decided that God can be trusted no matter what. They're still telling people of the hope of Christ. They're still that there is still peace to be found on earth. These Christians are still searching the scriptures and they're still on their knees. They're still loving their spouses and training their children for a life of faith. Their faith is not restricted by edicts or orders or decrees because they seek a city not made with hands. And they live for a country not found in this world. The Bible says in verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's living for a purpose in a place that can't be found here. How is that living? By faith. You see, their faith is actively being lived out in person, revealed from faith to faith, because they're living by faith. For the just shall live by faith. Now just think about this. Where does faith begin? With a statement from God. God says, you're a sinner. Do I believe that? Can that be trusted? Do I know in my heart that I'm a sinner? Do I know in my heart that I, because of that, I just feel alone and separated and kind of weird when I talk about God? And do I believe that Jesus died for me? Do I believe that he rose again from the grave? Do I believe that God and God alone is the only one that can forgive sins and fill this void of emptiness and guilt in my life? Now, based on that, if I trust God, I can call on the name of the Lord and I'm going to be saved. And you can as well. But what about after that? Well, how do I know what that faith life looks like? Oh, I just open his book and I say, okay, God, what's the first step of obedience you want me to do? You need to be baptized by immersion. You need to add yourself to a local body. You need to be actively seeking to encourage and provoke into love and good works one another. And you need to be seeking the lost. Because that's why I died, to save you. I want to know, do you really believe what I'm saying to you? Or do you not believe? Because an act of faith leads to an active Christian life, which number four means that an inactive faith results either in no action or the wrong action. I'll say it again. An inactive faith results either in no action or the wrong action. Now, it's needful at this point to note that the life of faith is never a can or a can't kind of thing. But it is most definitely a will or a won't kind of thing. You see, God speaks through his word, and based on our willingness to trust him, that will result either in action for or reaction against. Now, let's just take that statement now, and let's transpose it back and put it in the context of Scripture, all right, and see how much you remember. It's not that Jonah couldn't go to Nineveh, it's that Jonah wouldn't go to Nineveh. Jonah wouldn't go to Nineveh. God said, Jonah, I've called thee to be a prophet of mine. I want you to go to Nineveh. instead of going to Nineveh, he went the exact opposite way. Well, let me ask you a question. Did he believe who God was? Absolutely. But he didn't believe what God said he wanted him to do was what was helpful and could be trusted. You see, he wasn't willing. It's not that he couldn't. It's that he wouldn't. Jonah wouldn't go to Nineveh. Peter wouldn't throw a net. Peter was like, look, I don't know what you know about fishing. This is what I do for a living. I have fished all night long, and there ain't no fish out tonight. Certainly, it's not going to be in the daytime, because if you knew anything about fishing, you would know that the best time to fish is at night. And so I'm not going to throw a net, because we've toiled all the night and for naught. Just throw out the nets. Okay, so at that point, it's that he wouldn't. Not that he couldn't, but that he wouldn't. By the way, praise God, he finally did. But he wouldn't, all right? Samson wouldn't restrain himself. He just decided, okay, well, I know that I'm not supposed to drink wine. I know I'm not supposed to do this, not supposed to do that, but who cares? I'm going to do it all anyway. Sound familiar? Samson wouldn't restrain himself. King Saul wouldn't follow through. Rebecca wouldn't trust God with her children. Just had to get involved. Just had to muddy the waters. Just had to play favorites. Just wouldn't trust God with her children. And by the way, lost one of them. Now think about that guilt to live with. I have to mother and control all of these events so much. And then pitted them against each other. Rebecca wouldn't trust God with her children. Abraham wouldn't wait for God. Now think about that. Talk about someone you can really identify with. The father, according to Romans, of our faith, who trusted God and left it all. And God came to him and said, hey, I just want you to know, I promised you a seed, but I'm going to bless that seed. And he's going, look, I'm 90 some years old and I don't have a seed yet and my wife can't bear. So guess what? I'm just going to try to do it my way. And how did that work out for him? How did that decision work out for the result of what would come from Ishmael and from his son Isaac? That was awful. Why? All because he didn't trust God. Abraham wouldn't wait for God. It's not that he couldn't wait. We say, I just can't wait. We say things like, I can't wait for Christmas. I can't wait for the stoplight. I can't wait for this to be done. I can't wait. God says, no. If you wait on the Lord, that's when you get renewed strength. Jeremiah in Lamentations said, no, it's a good thing to wait on the Lord. What was he looking at? He was looking at his nation destroyed. The people of God were being picked off by the sniper of God's judgment. The nation was in upheaval. And Jeremiah said, look, I don't like all this, but here's what I know. This is what comforts me in my heart when I bring it to mind. It's a good thing to wait on God. I don't like all the circumstances and I don't like what's becoming. I may not even like what's doing in me. But I know it's a good thing to wait on God. Why? Because it requires faith. And faith and resting and abiding in God, like John said in John 15, that's what glorifies him. Abraham wouldn't wait for God. Cain wouldn't kill an animal. Ananias and Sapphira wouldn't be honest with the Holy Ghost. Moses wouldn't speak to the rock. David wouldn't go to war. Demas wouldn't forsake the world. Eve wouldn't listen to God. You can go just as many of the heroes of faith in the Bible. You can go back and look at the faith and see what people would or wouldn't do when God said you can do all things through Christ. You see, an inactive faith results either in no action or the wrong action. Lot wouldn't live for God in Sodom and Gomorrah. He could have. Had he, probably would have saved his entire family at the least. More than likely, there would have been more saved. Maybe this. Maybe even the whole city. Say, is that even possible? Well, let's just take another Bible example. Nineveh was one of the worst and wicked places in all of the world. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said no, and then he got his heart right in the belly of a whale. Then he went to Nineveh, and the whole city, from the king to the pauper, repented, and God spared the city. Didn't God say to Abraham when Abraham started, Lord, for 100 people, would you spare? He said, yep, I will. Lord, for 90, Lord, for 80, 70, 60, 50, 40, 30, 20, Lord, for 10, if you have 10 people in the city, I'll spare the judgment. You see, had Lot done what he could have done, then God wouldn't have had to do what he did. Well, that's pretty powerful. That is powerful faith when it's active. Because an inactive faith results either in no action or the wrong action. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I don't know about you, but I learned a lot about my faith this year. I mean, a lot. I learned how fragile it was, and I learned at times how very little it was. I learned this year how dependent my faith is on God and His Word. And I also learned how powerful faith is when it has its right foundation. So if I could, in the last couple of minutes this morning, could I give you some suggestions for a life of faith in 2021? I know 2020 is going to be one of those years nobody wants to talk about, but wouldn't it be great if because of the faith of just a few people, 2021 would be something that you had to talk about? It could be a year that is transformed because of what God did to all of us and through all of us in this year. Let me give you a few suggestions. Based on what I just preached, based on what the Bible says faith is, based on what the Bible says faith always leads to, number one, find out what God says in His book and then believe it. Believe every word of it. Jeremiah 13, verses 15 through 17, hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before He caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, He turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. What's Jeremiah saying? Listen, you need to give ear to what the Lord is saying, and He gives the reason why we don't, because you're proud. You see, that I've made this statement to a couple of people. You know so much Bible, you're dangerous. You know what I mean by that? People all of a sudden say, hey, the Lord says this, the Lord says this, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, and they try to deflect all of your questions by how spiritual they are, but they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power there. There's no power there. Why? Because it's not about what you say you believe. It's about the actions that follow it. It's unbelievable how specific God is. And all I'm asking you to do this year, more than any, is get into the book. If you want to make 2021 a better year than 2020, read the Bible and just believe it. Get in the book and believe it. Secondly, respond to it by trusting and then acting. Respond to what God says by acting like you believe it. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why? Because I can always trust the Lord. David is saying, in my lifetime, though I may not have acted by faith, at the end of my life, I look and I see that you can always trust the Lord. I've always seen God arrive on time. I've always seen His provision be enough. And that's what the Word of God supports. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and His seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment. He loves when I decide what's right. That's what judgment is deciding. He loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Do I believe that? Do I believe that though it may look and appear that the wicked just continue to prosper and prosper? Do I believe that they have their end because God said it would be, and it's not up to me, but it's up to them, up to Him? Get into the book. Find out what God says in His book and believe it. Respond by trusting and then acting on it. Walk in the paths of righteousness. Walk for His name's sake. Walk by faith. And then thirdly, and I'm done, be ready to count the blessings that come with pleasing God because you're living by faith. Look at verse 6 in our text again. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, here's the second part of it, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's amazing how many times you find that phrase in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What does it point to? It points to a life of faith. And why is the best life a faith life? Because that's the life that God blesses. That's the life that God is pleased by. 1 Kings in chapter 3 and verse 10. Solomon prays to the Lord. Here's what he says. And the speech pleased the Lord. That Solomon had asked this thing. Remember what Solomon asked for? Wisdom. God, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not my father, David. I don't know how to go in and how to come out. I don't know what I'm doing. Would you please give me wisdom to know how to do all this stuff? And God says, wait a minute. You're saying that you need me to be king? Are you saying, Solomon, that you need me in order to know how to walk before your people? Are you saying, Solomon, that you need me in order to know how to be a dad and how to be a husband? Are you saying that you need me to know how to rightly manage this situation, this opportunity that I've given you? Are you saying that you need me? That pleases me. What is that? That's faith. God, whoever you are and whatever you have, that's what I need. I don't need the riches of this world. God says, okay, well, guess what? You're not only going to get me, you're not only going to get my wisdom, I'm going to give you more than anybody's ever had. Why? Because I'm pleased. 1 Kings 3, the speech pleased the Lord. Proverbs 16:7 is another key into what God did for Solomon. When a man's ways please the Lord, what pleases God? Faith. He makes even in his enemies to be at peace with him. How much really can God do? God can do anything if I'll just live by faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And when I live in faith, there is nothing impossible for God. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now watch. He's working in me that which is well pleasing in His sight. What's well pleasing in His sight? Faith. What pleases God? A childlike faith. How does He work in me? It's the Word of God that effectually worketh in me. God's Word put in my heart. And me saying, God, I know what You're saying is true. Now, I'm going to obey You. God says, I'm working in you and I'm maturing you by that. I'm going to do it. And what's it for? My will. Faith is not a can or can't thing. It's a will or a won't thing. And it's God's will that is the most important thing. And God says, look, I have a life for you that has been planned out from before you were born. I fashioned you for this life. The key ingredient in that life is me. Now, all I want you to do is trust me. And when you trust me, when you look and see what other people who've trusted me do, you'll do the same. Whether it's sojourning or building, or offering, whatever it is, it will be the life that pleases me and that I'll bless. The best life you'll ever live, the best life I'll ever live, the best life we will ever live is the life of faith that begins and ends with Jesus Christ, who is the living Word of God. where does faith begin? With a statement from God. Where does it end? With Jesus Christ and life eternal. That's what makes Jesus Christ the author and the finisher of our faith. God, we sure love you and we thank you for who you are. I thank you that you can always be trusted. I thank you, God, that you have given us this book we call the Bible. It is truly the book of all books. And therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, Lord, this last 360 some days may not have been our best. And I know, God, for all of us, we've had our ups and our downs. And I'm not here to say what is an up or a down. I just know in my own life when I've been down and when I've been up. And God, I can always look at my failures and I know who exactly to blame. It's me. And I can look at every success and I can look at every high time and joyful time and peaceful time and I know who gets the credit. It's you. And so I want to say in the last Sunday of this year, thank you for being who you are. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And I thank you, God, that you are the rewarder of all who will seek you. My prayer is that we would do that. That we would seek the Lord if haply he may be found, for he's not far from every one of us, the Bible says. And God, I know that you have given us opportunities of faith. I know that you've given me opportunities of faith, and I've missed them. Lord, what I'm asking for is for other opportunities to prove my love. Help me this year, in the new year, to be more faithful. God, help me to live more by faith. As Christians in this local body, will you help us as a church to live more by faith? And God, what we believe that you say we know is true, will you help us to act on it? Lord, if your word is really more necessary than our necessary food, I pray that we would seek after it. God, if the speech of Solomon pleased you because he asked not for anything else but you and your wisdom, then I pray that's where we would begin today. And I pray in all of it that you would use us, Lord, because our faith is transferred to others when we live by it. Help us to be children of faith. Help us to be lights that shine in the dark. And I pray that you'll use us. Bless the word of God in our hearts now. I pray that you would work in it, work in us, that which is well-pleasing in your sight through Christ. I pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.